Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Mike Max with you. Sports to the Max. Fun night ahead. Don Beebe will join us. Dan O'Brien, St. Thomas Academy. They're playing undefeated. Unbelievable. All kinds of fun stuff straight ahead. But I want to start with Bill Robertson. Currently the commish, we call him. Obviously, when you've aspired to that in college hockey, you get it. But he was sure the Minnesota Wild came here when they re-entered the National Hockey League, when the state of Minnesota did. And the owner at that time, the man that had the vision, or at least the man that stepped up to home plate, was a guy named Bob Negley. And he passed away today at the age of 78. Probably in the hockey community he will be, but overall probably will never be appreciated for what he did, sticking his neck on the line to bring hockey back to Minnesota at a time when people thought it might be right, but they needed somebody to be a lead investor. Bill, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Mike. How about yourself?
Good, good. Take me back to that period of time when we were all much younger and energized and optimistic, but you were with the Anaheim Angels coming back. You'd worked with the Timberwolves. And you were right in the middle of what was really a transformative time, but quite an opportunity for you in a career path to be able to. It's not very often you get to be a part of an expansion team. And Bob was at the forefront there. He had the shovel and started digging first. Take me back to that period of time and how that evolved.
Well, it actually happened a little bit prior to my existence with the Wild. I came in 1998, and in 1997. I believe at Town and Country Club, a bunch of investors and people that cared about the sport of hockey all got together in a room, and it basically came back that Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, said, "Hey, it's all great that you're all interested in doing this, but the one thing is that someone has to take the lead and be in charge and be the focal point for these connections between the league and everything else. And it has to be one person." So he hung up on that call, Commissioner Bettman. And then all these people are in this room, and really nobody wanted to take the lead except for Bob Negley Jr.
Everybody just wanted to be an investor, so to speak, huh?
Correct. They all wanted to play a role, but no one wanted to stick their neck out on the line. And Bob said, "You know, I guess my legacy is going to be helping return the NHL to Minnesota." And that's exactly what he ended up doing. And he did it in such spectacular fashion, Mike. Everything that he touched from the start turned into gold. And I can't think of a finer man, a classier person. And my thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the Negley family. But I do know this, that he's in a better place. And just a marvelous person with a upbeat attitude all the time, kind of like you, Mike. I mean, really, when it comes down, I mean, really a positive person. And he would continue, even up to late this summer, were sending me email notes saying to me, keep doing what you're doing at the WCHA. You're making great progress. Don't give up. Keep at it," and always encouraging people. And that's one of the legacies that he'll leave here, not only bringing the NHL back to Minnesota, but that positive spirit.
Yeah, and he had been a successful businessman. First, his father in the outdoor billboard industry. He owned Flagship
Correct.
Athletic Club, Rollerblade. You know, he obviously made a big splash when he bought that. That probably helped make him flush enough to jump into the NHL. But it was pretty interesting because what also evolved was in this town we have not quite seen, and you were part of it, the management team that was assembled. We didn't know names like Todd Lywicki. We didn't know names like Jack Sperling or Doug Risebrow, and then Bill Robertson we knew already. But he put together this group, at least he was the starter block for it, that really kind of showed the way, and probably as easy of time transitioning into the community as I've ever seen because of those personalities.
No question. And he made himself available. And the people he hired, all the people you just mentioned, in my estimation, are all people people,
yeah.
meaning that they're good relationship builders. And you have to do that when you're starting out. And Bob had the notion, along with Jack Sperling, that we need to be rooted into the community before we do anything else. And they went at it and attacked it and wanted to be a part of the Twin Cities sports community and wanted to give back instead of asking not just for people to buy season tickets or deposits at that time to eventually turn those into season tickets. He wanted to help the local hockey communities. He wanted to go to the rinks. He wanted to see what was missing at these rinks and what these young kids that are playing hockey, both boys and girls, men's and women's, he wanted to see all that. And he continued to play hockey throughout his adult life as a former goaltender at Dartmouth and at Minnetonka High School. And he still actively liked to get on the blades and play. So he understood that piece as a former player, but then translated that so well into the community in the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. I mean, he wanted to go on a barnstorming tour. And one of the things he said is, let's go up and see the Roseau War Road game right away as the team was being formed. Before there was any Minnesota Wild road tours and caravans, et cetera, he wanted to go up there with a group of people and just kind of give back and take it in and see what it was all about. And that's really kind of the essence of Bob Nagley Jr.
You know, and when you go to that arena, and I'm not saying every idea was his, but certainly the spirit of it, the X's stands out and stands the test of time. And why? Well, there's jerseys from every school in the state, which has become something other states and other arenas have tried to employ. There's the Iron Range Grill. There's all these things that speak to Minnesota. And I'm not saying that he laid out the plan, but certainly, you know, that was the spirit that he wanted to embody.
Very much so. He had his fingerprints on that, even though every idea, as you said, was not his. But he saw that concept of being a Minnesotan. And I can say this, he was a proud Minnesotan, but he was even more proud to be from St. Paul, Minnesota, and meaning that his team was in St. Paul. He wanted it to be identified with St. Paul, and not necessarily not Minneapolis. That was not his intention. But he wanted to make sure people knew that the XL Energy Center was in St. Paul, Minnesota.
He also, I remember talking to him several times about, you know, how do you know if it's going to work? When you take a leap like this, even though, you know, Minnesota and hockey, and he said, well, he says, you factor in a lot of different things. You know, the suburbs that surround you, ticket prices, arena, blah, blah, blah. And then he says there's about 25% of this that's a faith factor. And that was really important to Bob Nagley because his faith came before everything else.
Well, he liked to greet fans coming into the building at gate one. He did that on several occasions. And I used to ask him, do you want some help there to be near you? He goes, no, I have this handled. I'm a fan as well, and I want to hear from the fans. And he mingled with all those people and had a great time. And he had no problem coming up to the suite level to meet with business people or come up to the press box and talk to Mike Max or any other media person that wanted to talk to him between periods or before the games. He enjoyed all that. That was a big piece. But the one story, Mike, I think tells a lot about Bob was the day before our first ever regular season game. And that was at home, the home game we played. And I believe it was against the Philadelphia Flyers. And he stopped in my office and he said, hey, Billy, wouldn't it be great if we never had to play a game and could just continue to do this kind of work?
Yep.
And I mean, I stopped and I laughed with him and then he walked away and I thought about that. And you know, that's really what he was about. It really wasn't about the wins and losses for him, even though he wanted to win. He was a competitor, but he looked at it as this was my way of giving back to the state of Minnesota, bringing the NHL back after a 7-year absence and making it a really, truly special place to go watch professional hockey. But he also, Mike, was also really adamant that we do a lot of these ancillary events. And part of our agreement with the state of Minnesota was that we did the high school tournaments and did youth events in the building to support both boys and girls hockey in the state of Minnesota. And that was equally as important to Bob as the Minnesota Wild games.
On another note, how's the WCHA doing?
Good. We have two teams on the men's side in the top 10 in college.
Yes, you do.
Minnesota State has played exceptionally well, and they're ranked number 3 in the country.
Yep,
Mike,
swept the Gophers last week, yep.
They did, and they played really well, and they're going to be a really good team. Also in the state of Minnesota, Bemidji is not ranked in the top 20, but they're right behind there as far as the percentage points are. They're really good. Tom Ceratori has a really good team. And then we have Bowling Green State University out of Ohio. That's ranked 10th in the country, and I would be afraid to be playing them at any time this year because they're really good. So I look at it as I would love to see 3 teams from the WCHA get into the NCAA tournament this
yep.
year.
Bowling Green, is that a nice campus? What is that like?
It is. It's right outside of it's about an hour outside of Detroit. It's right on the border of Michigan and Ohio, and it's beautiful. Beautiful campus, beautiful football facility. You feel like you're in the Midwest, so to speak. A lot of trees, a lot of open space. So it's a really a nice campus.
Now, do you travel around throughout, going to every weekend to different place? Or how does it work for the commissioner?
Usually for me, I'm gone 2 out of 4, sometimes 3 out of 4 weekends. Usually 1 weekend I'm back here monitoring games on our streaming package. But traditionally, I'll go see a game every or a series every weekend or every other weekend.
Meet with the coaches, meet with the ADs, just talk?
Absolutely. I'll usually get there a couple hours before the game and want to make sure I talk to the coach from both universities that are competing that night, and we'll talk to the AD and several of their athletic department reps, and sometimes even meet with the presidents of the universities to talk about the vision for the WCHA.
Interesting stuff. Hey, Bill, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for giving us some time and reflecting. It goes so quickly. You know, to you and I, it seems like the Wild just started as a franchise, but you go back, and you reminded me, it was 97 that this whole thing actually, and Norm Coleman, we should add in there, and Arnie Carlson, they're driving the Zamboni down the streets there, literally,
yeah,
in St. Paul, and this thing took off. But, boy, it flies by, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm glad that you're remembering Bob Nagley, and all your listeners out there know that he was a class act and a really wonderful man.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, thanks, Mike.
You bet. Bill Robertson. I'll share one Bob Nagley story on the other side. I got to know him pretty well when he was up here in the day, and he was one, like Bill said, one classy guy. Tell you what else we're going to have on tomorrow. This is a fun story for me. Tony Levine went to Highland Park High School, walked on at the University of Minnesota, earned a scholarship there in football. Played his way on the team back in the Jim Wacker era, and then decided to pursue a career in coaching, and it took him all over the country. He eventually then let the University of Houston, worked his way up, and became the head coach of the University of Houston, Division I. When he lost that job, he went to Western Kentucky and then to Purdue, he and his wife and 4 kids. And so he's been on this coaching carousel for many, many years and lived in many, many different places. And Purdue is who the Gophers play on Saturday. But he no longer coaches with Purdue because after last season, he decided to give it up and open a Chick-fil-A restaurant. So he left this coaching dream, you know, you run it down, you track it, all these things. And he decided to give it up, and he's now opened a Chick-fil-A restaurant down in Houston, Texas, because he wants to spend more time with his 4 kids. And he's seen, he's had so many stops in coaching. So it's an interesting story. He'll join us tomorrow as well, and a whole bunch more from 9 to noon. Bob Nagley was a class act. I remember after being with him after the Wild beat Vancouver in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the only time they've gone to the conference finals, and sitting at a bar with Bob and a couple others, and he just couldn't believe it. No one could, that this team, this franchise that had just opened for business, was now going to play Anaheim at that time in the in the Stanley Cup Finals. And he and I and a couple of the other investors or owners sat there and regaled with stories and celebratory and all that stuff up there in Vancouver. And I'll never forget, Bob was just so classy and so dignified and so nice all the time. Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCC.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.